Well, good morning, everyone. I want to add to the warm welcome that Lee has already given you. It is great to be able to continue in our series in Soul Care. And this morning, we're going to be looking into probably the most well-known psalm there is, and that is Psalm 23. But before we read it, I want to start by sharing a story with you. A few years ago, we were on holiday in North Wales, and I was out walking my dogs one morning, and I came to a field, and there was a sign on the field telling me that there was livestock in the field. Now, as I was in North Wales, I was expecting to walk into a field and see a load of sheep. But as I went through into the field, I saw that actually it was a herd of cows. Now, I was a little bit nervous because I noticed that the cows had some calves with them. I had heard some stories from others recently about cows being very protective around their calves, particularly around dogs. But I didn't need to worry because the cows were at the other end of the field and they were busy grazing in the field. And actually, as I walked through the field, I noticed that the field was not looking its best. A lot of the grass had died from the heat of the sun. It had been a particularly hot month. And the cows were literally in the only spot left where there was luscious green grass for them to eat. A few days later, I made that same walk with my dogs and I got to that field. And as I went in, even though the sign was there still, I noticed as I went in, I couldn't see any cows. The cows had gone. As I continued my walk a little bit further, I came to another field. And I'm not definitely sure, that the cows have been moved to that field. I mean, cows do look alike, so it could have been another herd. But I'm guessing it was the same herd of cows. Now, it didn't take a farmer, it didn't take someone that understands cows for me to work out why the cows have been moved. It was obvious why the cows have been moved. This field, the grass was luscious and green. There were also some tall trees in the field which were giving the shade across the field for the cows and for the grass. It was a space in which they could enjoy and rest. It was a space in which the farmer had led the cows so that they could eat, so that they could rest, and so that they could thrive. Well, this morning we are going to be looking at a psalm that is going to show us and remind us the job of a farmer, the job of a shepherd, the good shepherd. And this morning, we're going to look, as David looks and reflects back at his own life as a shepherd, we're going to be reflecting on what God is like as a shepherd. And I want you to read with me Psalm 23. And as we read it together, I want us to be reminded again of what God is like as our shepherd. Let's read it, Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray for us this morning as we look and as we study Psalm 23 together. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that your word shows us and clearly shows us the goodness of your character. It shows us that you are the good shepherd. Father, and I pray this morning that you by your spirit would speak and minister to our souls. Father, this series has been so timely. This series has been such a reminder of the importance of soul care. And Father, we thank you that you care for us as the Good Shepherd. Help us to see that and help us to respond to that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 23 starts with a declaration from David. A declaration telling us something about the character of God. That God is our shepherd. You see what he says? The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. David tells us something about God and what his character is like. God is our shepherd. And then he tells us, because God is our shepherd, he tells us what our response should be. We will not want. And the whole rest of the psalm, poetically, David is going to show us why and how God is our shepherd. How we, the people of God, can and should respond to him as shepherd. And David tells us, knowing this and responding to this, what will it do for us this morning? David tells us it will restore our souls. Does that sound good this morning? I don't know about you, but I want my soul to be restored. And David tells us that when we look at God and understand that he is our shepherd, and we respond to him, that our souls are restored. And this morning I want to look at three ideas from the passage. And the first is this: the shepherd provides all we need for our good and for his glory. Read with me again, Psalm 23, and we're going to look at verses 2 to 3. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. David is reflecting on his own time as a shepherd as he writes this psalm. And he reflects how he, as the shepherd, would lead the sheep to green pastures. How he would lead the sheep to the still waters. And David draws this parallel between the job of a shepherd of that he did and what God is like. And guess the first thing that David tells us that God is like. You see, he tells us that God is the one that gives us true rest. He tells us that the shepherd is the one that makes us lie down in the green pastures and leads us by the still waters. This morning, I want us to understand this. True rest is not found in our beds, though sleep is good. True rest is not found in vegging out, watching Netflix. True rest is not even found in reading a book and having that moment of peace. Rest is not found, parents, in that 5 minutes you locked yourself in the toilet just to get away from your kids. No. You see, true rest is found in knowing God. It is found in knowing him. And a true rest is also found in when we are fed by him. You see, where does the shepherd lead them to? He lies them down in what pastures? Green pastures. See, the sheep can lay its head and rest because the sheep are well fed. The sheep could lay and rest its head because the sheep have had their thirst quenched from the still waters. Unlike other animals, like bears and wolves and lions, sheep don't hunt for their food. No, sheep find their food in where the shepherd leads them. And likewise, Cornerstone, we find our spiritual food and rest in God's word. We find our true nourishment when we come time and time and time again to the Word of God, in reading his Word and being reminded again and again by the truths that we find in it. And as we read it, we realize, like the sheep, we can trust him because he is good. Maybe this morning you're finding it harder to even get up and get going. Maybe this morning it was a challenge to get out and get to church. Maybe you're lacking self-motivation. Maybe you've got into bad habits and all those New Year's resolutions that you set a few weeks ago have already gone out the window. Here's what David is going to encourage us to do. We are to eat and rest in the Lord. We are to pick up our spiritual food. So this is your challenge this morning. I want to give us a challenge for this week. If you are having a bad day at work and you're stressed, maybe frustrated, you're having a bad day at school or college or university or whatever you're doing, rather than spending that moment's break doom scrolling through Instagram or catching up on the latest news or sport or running around like a headless chicken trying to get those chores done in the house that you should have done last night and put off, I want to encourage you to do this. Open up your Bible. Open up your Bible and feed your soul. You see, the chances are if we are stressed in work or home or whatever it is we're doing, we can find rest when we open God's word and trust him. I promise you this, when you come back to your work, if you've spent that time doom scrolling through Instagram, checking out the news, which probably makes you more depressed, looking at the sport and seeing that your team's lost again, whatever it is, doing those chores, I promise you this, you're going to come back probably in the same mood that you left your workplace. But imagine if you just spent 5 minutes, just 5 minutes in the Word of God, tasting and seeing that he is good. Will the stress of life, the stress of kids, the stress of the job, the stress of the task, the stress of your homework, will it disappear when you go back? Probably not. Will the work somehow magically disappear and you come back? It's like, wow, God, this is amazing. My work's done. Will the homework that we were doing suddenly become simple? Will the children that we're trying to parent suddenly become loving and obedient? Probably not. You see, the circumstances that we are in will not change. But when we taste and see that the shepherd is good and he gives us rest, when we come back to our work, we come back reminded of God's goodness and his grace. So guess what? You'll be more inclined to show your work colleagues the grace that you've just received from opening his word. You'll be more inclined to turn to your schoolmates and show them the goodness and the grace that you've just received. You'll be more inclined to pick up your work and realize you are working for the Lord rather than just your boss. You see, when we understand God is our shepherd, and by his Spirit, he leads us to where? The first and first foremost place is his word. It'd be crazy to do anything else, wouldn't it? Then try to find rest in him. Why wouldn't we open his word? Why wouldn't we turn to him in prayer? Do you know what we sometimes act like? We act like sheep in a field, and the grass is right in front of us, and the still waters is right next to us, and we don't eat, and we don't drink. You see, if you see a sheep by themselves, we know that they're lost, right? This morning, I want to encourage us this. We must stop trying to do life alone. Stop looking to other means to find rest for our weary souls. The rest is only found in him and him alone. You know, when I think of the still waters, I'm reminded of the story of Jesus and the woman at the well. And Jesus tells her, doesn't he, as he stands with the woman at the well, he tells her he can give her water that where she will never thirst again. You see, the woman was seeking for meaning and worth. She was seeking that in the acceptance of the world. And yet she had been rejected and they had outcast her. Jesus tells us she's looking in all the wrong places. She was looking and caring for what others thought of her. She was looking for it in relationships, and yet every relationship had broken down. She was looking for it in status, and yet she had no status. And Jesus tells the woman that when we pursue these things in the wrong places, we will never find it. But where is it found? David tells us this morning, it is found in our Lord and our Shepherd. It is found in the shepherd that cares for us. And we can rest in him when we care what he thinks rather than what the world thinks. When we follow his lead rather than following the world or ourselves. When we trust in him rather than our own abilities or the world around us or what other people think. And when we do this, what does he promise us? He promises us he will restore my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When we trust in him, he provides restoration for our souls. It's why Paul in Philippians 4, 6 to 7 says this. He tells the church in Philippi, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts, your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul tells us when we trust in him, when we turn to the shepherd, we will be given a peace that surpasses all understanding. To the outside world, they won't be able to understand it. You see, no matter what happens or what is happening in our life, no matter the circumstances, no matter the hardship, no matter our tears or our pain, no matter the times we break down or fall apart, those who know the shepherd know his peace. They know his peace. Those who truly follow the shepherd know the shepherd. He is the one that will lead us in the paths of righteousness. Therefore, our lives can reflect the shepherd and his goodness and his grace. Our lives are meant to be set apart from the watching world around us. So here's the challenge. Are we finding rest in him? And are our lives set apart from the world around us? Are we following the shepherd this morning, Cornerstone? You might say this, but Dave, I don't know what he wants me to do. You see, there is times, isn't there, in our lives where God's will isn't always clear. Should I apply for this job or this job? Should I live in this house or this house? Should I send my kids to this school or this school? Which university should I go to? Bath looks great, but Bristol's nearby too. Which one? But there is something which is clear. You see, I think we sometimes ask the wrong question. Not which job should I apply to, Lord, but which job will I be able to show and demonstrate and bring glory to you? The question isn't really which home. The question is, how, Lord, can I use this home to glorify you and love others? The question isn't really which school, Lord, but whichever school my child ends up at, am I teaching and instructing them in the ways of the Lord? Am I leading and pointing my children in paths of righteousness to glorify you? You see, Cornerstone, the question often isn't which decision shall I take, unless it's an obvious sinful decision. But as we walk our decisions in life, are we walking them in righteousness? Can we walk in a way that honors God and glorifies him? Because David says, why do we do all this? For your name's sake. For your name's sake. It is for his glory and his fame. If the decisions we make in life are for our ease, for our comfort, for our namesake, no matter how good they may seem on the outside, it isn't the path of righteousness. It's the path of self. And our rest is found not in those things, but our rest is found in him and his glory. And therefore, as we rest in him, we can walk in the path of righteousness. And that leads us nicely onto our second idea. The shepherd guides and protects us, even in the midst of suffering and persecution. Look with me at verses 4 and 5. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. One of the hardest parts of life, isn't it? We live in a broken world. We only have to turn our TV on and see how broken and messed up our world is. And we all suffer. Some of us more than others. And life is hard whether you're a Christian or not. And there's times when life can feel crushing. Can feel overwhelming. Times when life can just feel devastating. Whether it's the loss of a loved one. Whether it's that dreaded news of an unwanted diagnosis. Whether it's the loss of a job. Whether it's friends or family walking away from the Lord. Whether it's a breakdown of our marriages. Betrayals of close friends. Whether it's loneliness or just the lack of friendship in our life. Whether it's bullying that we might experience in the school or the workplace. And as Christians, often it feels that maybe following the shepherd, we actually bring additional suffering and pain. We can be persecuted for what we believe in, ridiculed or even mocked for our faith. Told that we're not tolerant for what we believe or don't believe. Even today, we can lose our jobs or be put into disciplinary measures for standing and taking a stand for Jesus. We have this continual job, don't we, as if, for those of you that are parents, are protecting our kids from a world that seems to be running away from God, further and further from his word, than faster than ever before. And if we're honest as we look at the bleakness of the world around us, and even the bleakness of our own lives and our own hearts, there are times where we may just want to give up. There are times where we want to question, is it worth following the shepherd? And David realizes this truth in Psalm 23. David realizes that following the Lord and his word can lead even to the possibility of death. So how? How this morning can we stand, and as we read these words, how can we, like David, say that we are not going to fear evil? How can we not be fearful of the world around us? You know, when I was a young child, I used to have the occasional nightmare. And I remember waking up in the night, and I did what all young children do in the night. You run to mummy and daddy, right? You run to go and find them. And there was something, and then my parents would come, either my mum or dad would come to my bedroom, and they would stay with me until I fell asleep. And there's something, isn't there, about the presence of your parent, a loving parent, that for some reason, even though that nightmare seems still scary and fearful, somehow it just doesn't seem so bad. Becoming a dad myself, I have on the number of occasions, in fact, including last night, ironically, Chloe woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I have found myself on a number of occasions doing the same thing for my children. Number of times I've ended up sleeping on the floor or literally sleeping in their beds next to them. And just that presence of a father with a child somehow takes their fear away. Literally, Chloe was screaming and then 2 seconds later, she was asleep last night. It's a default setting, isn't it, for a child? That's what they do. They run to a parent. But when we grow up, we normally grow out of nightmares. So when I was suffering with my PTSD, and I was still experiencing nightmares at night as an adult, unlike a child, I woke up and felt alone. Been there? At first, I didn't even want to tell anyone. I was ashamed, embarrassed. And even when I eventually did start to tell people that I was experiencing nightmares, it didn't seem to make the dreams any less scary. But it was one night that God powerfully spoke to me that actually Abby, my daughter, actually woke up that evening with a nightmare. And then a few hours later, I woke up and had a nightmare. You see, in that moment, I saw Abby as she turned to her father and found comfort in me. And I realized as I woke up in my nightmare, I needed to do the same thing. Cornerstone, you have something better than an earthly father or mother. We have a God that is with us every step of the way. And we are called, no matter what trials and struggles we are going through in life. And I know some of you are suffering hard. We have a heavenly Father that's never left us. He never leaves our side. You see, it's often in our trials and suffering that God teaches us more about who he is and what he is like. See, Cornerstone, it's often in our failures and our brokenness that we are reminded again of our total need of our shepherd. And what is his promise as a shepherd? That he will not leave his sheep. You see, David, listen to me. Listen to this. David doesn't say we won't be scared. What does he say? He says we will not fear evil. What does that mean? You see, this is what it means. When we are with the shepherd, the enemy cannot win. The enemy cannot win. When we are with the shepherd, we are secure and safe with him forever. When we are with the shepherd, he will defend and protect us. The promise isn't we won't struggle. The promise isn't we won't sin. The promise isn't we won't find hardships in life. The promise isn't we won't receive persecution. The promise isn't we won't face death. The promise is this, that he will keep us to the end. The promise is that he is good and he will ultimately win over evil. The promise is that God works all things for good for those who trust him. You see, for the sheep, knowing the shepherd can defeat the wolf, the bear, or the thief, knowing the shepherd will carry us when the path gets too difficult, knowing the shepherd will defeat the enemies that want to devour us, changes everything. Do the enemies still exist? Yes. But we have a shepherd that will protect us. You see, knowing that Jesus is victorious at the cross, that he defeated sin, death, Satan and hell, means we do not need to fear evil. It means that no matter what happens in our life, no matter how difficult, how challenging, like all good fairy tales, good will ultimately win. And our shepherd is good. And that should comfort us this morning. No matter what our circumstances are, no matter how far we feel from him, no matter how lost we may be feeling this morning, no matter how beaten and downtrodden we are, no matter the challenges you're facing in your personal life, in your family life, we can look to the cross and know our shepherd has defeated them all. We can look to the empty tomb and know the victory is his, and therefore the victory is ours. And we can know that there will be one day when he will deal with our enemies once and for all. David then says this very strange phrase. He says, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What is he talking about there? You see, here's the truth. When predators may circle, the sheep can still eat. The sheep can still drink. Why? Because the shepherd is present. As long as the shepherd is there, as long as the shepherd is watching, no matter what enemy comes our way, no matter what trials come our way, we are safe in his presence. Sometimes life can be a little bit like that, right? We can feel like the enemies are literally sat at our table watching us, waiting for us to mess up, waiting for us to wander away from the shepherd, waiting for us to stop trusting him, waiting for us to find rest in the world rather than him, waiting for us to feel tempted. But when we do feel tempted, when we do feel despair, when we feel attacked from all sides, when we feel like we've messed up and sinned and Satan wants us to just totally despair, and when we feel like that fear is just getting that grip of us, when we do all those things, we can easily stare the enemies in the face and they can overwhelm us. But remember the story, I don't know if Dave said this last week, but he may have done, I can't remember his sermon. Remember the story of David, of Peter walking on the water? Did Dave say this last week? Or maybe someone in my GC said this last week. What does he do? What does Peter do? Was it you? There you go, Lord. You know what Peter did? What does he do? First of all, he gets out the boat and he starts walking on the water, which is mad, right? But what does he start to do? He stops looking at Jesus and starts looking at the waves. And the second he looks away from Jesus, guess what happens? He starts to sink. Cornerstone, we need to fix our eyes not on the enemy at the table, but on the one who is there in our presence, on Jesus. It doesn't make the enemies disappear. They might be right on top of us, but when we fix our eyes on him, they'd have no power over us. And you might say to me this morning, but Dave, it's too late. The enemies have already overwhelmed me. It's too late. What happened to Peter? Did he die? Does he sink? No, he cries out to Jesus, and Jesus pulls him safely onto the boat. Here's the amazing news of the gospel. Here's the amazing thing about our shepherd, is that even when we stop looking at him, he doesn't stop looking at us. Isn't that incredible? Even when we stop looking at him and we get fixated with the world and those that are persecuting us, we get fixated with our suffering, our hardships and all the other things in our life, the amazing thing about the shepherd is the shepherd doesn't stop watching us, the sheep. It wasn't dependent upon the sheep. It's dependent upon the shepherd who is watching them. He pulls Peter safely to the boat. And our shepherd will still defend us, even when we forget to keep looking at him. And that, I hope, this morning, I hope that brings you comfort. Because I know for some of you, that has been your reality over the last few months, is maybe that you focus so much on the enemy and you forgot to look at the shepherd. Let's move on to our final idea, and you'll all be pleased to know it is my shortest. The shepherd always keeps his promises and will lead all those who trust him home. Read with me from Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We live in a broken world. We've just been thinking about this. And we live in a broken world full of people that let us down, full of people that break their promises. And it's hard to trust people. We break our promises. It's hard to truly believe in people. And we allow, I believe, Cornerstone, our hurt and our pain, and we allow our experiences in life to impact the way we think of our God. And you see, David had experienced all of this in his life. Those he had loved and trusted had turned on him. Those he thought were for him ended up being against him. And the end of his life is his own son tries to betray him. Yet in the midst of all of that, David knew a shepherd that would never fail him. He knew one who was a promise-keeping God, a God that would never fail his word. Look with me in 2 Samuel chapter 7. God, through the prophet Nathan, speaks to David, shares a promise with him in verse 8. We're going to read. So 2 Samuel 7, verse 8. This is what God says to Nathan to share with David. Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pastures, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth. And I will provide a place for my people, Israel, and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore, as they did at the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people, Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. Maybe see where David's psalm comes from here. Right from God's word as he speaks to him. But let's carry on reading. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. And he is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And I will be his father, and he will be my son. And when he does wrong, I will punish him with a rod wielded by men, with floggings inflicted by human hands. But my love will be never taken away from him, as I took it away from Saul, who I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. David could see that throughout all of his life, no matter what, God had been with him. Whether through times of plenty and rejoicing, or whether through times of trial and suffering. Whether through times of sin and messing up, God had been there every step of the way. But God had a plan. And he had a plan that he was going to promise to David, that one of David's descendants was going to be the king forever, a promised king, and a kingdom that would last forever, a kingdom that would be eternal. And there's this strange line in this, as God speaks to Nathan, about the king would be the one, when he does wrong, would be flogged. What does that mean? Well, we understand, we can read it in this way. You see, this son, this king, would actually do no wrong. He'd be perfect in every way. But he would take on the sins of the people. He would carry the burdens and the sins of his people. And he would be beaten. And he would be flogged. And ultimately crucified for our sins. Yet here's was the thing. God wasn't going to remove his love from his son. No. We can know now. This side of the cross. Jesus would conquer death. He would rise victorious, showing us that this promise is true, that God is a promise keeper, keeping God, that the promise that he committed to David is now coming true. The promise of this kingdom that would never end. And we have the same promise. You see, like David, God has kept his promise. And we can know, like David, no matter what comes our way, that we can say, surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. When we are trusting in our shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus himself. If we are trusting in him, one day we will dwell with him in his house forever and ever. Ever and ever. Kathy, you were telling me this morning that you wake up most days in pain. Yes? One day, when we are trusting, because we are trusting in King Jesus, one day you will never feel pain again. In fact, you said that to me this morning. You said, one day I'm going to wake up and not feel pain. Yes? That is true. Not just because Kath says it and she hopes because she's in pain, that makes it true. No, it is true because God tells us that's true. For all those who are trusting in the Good Shepherd. So no matter what, Cornerstone, this morning, we can know. We can know that God is good and we can trust the good shepherd. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you that you are the good shepherd. Father, we know that life can be incredibly difficult at times. It can be incredibly challenging. Father, we know that times it feels like suffering can overwhelm us. But we thank you that we don't do it alone. We thank you that you are ever present. Father, for us that maybe this morning we've got distracted by the world around us, overwhelmed by the enemies that we see surrounding us. Help us to fix our eyes on the Good Shepherd, Jesus himself. Help us to taste and see that you are good. Help us to be able to say like David, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And we can say with confidence, surely we'll dwell in your house forever. And we thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.